Hey guys, this is Steli FD and Heaton Shah. Welcome to the Startup Chat Podcast.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Another beautiful episode. Heaton, my man, how are you doing?
Can't complain. That's what I'm going to say every time you ask
me. Every time I ask, you're like, can't complain.
But do you know why? It's because nobody's listening.
When somebody asks that question, what do you mean?
Well, someone asks it and I say, no. Here's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody asks a question, I go, I can't complain. And then a few seconds later, I go, because nobody's listening. It's great.
Okay. I got it now. Well, let me just say, for some people that listen to the episode we recorded about kind of background and context on how we're doing the podcast, we said that we're recording three podcasts because we do 20 minutes for an hour, so we do three episodes every recording session. So the last recording we just finished and we're like, what's the next topic we want to do? Because that's another kind of insight or background information. We usually don't know what we're going to talk about until we start recording or just a second before we go, do you have a topic? And Heaton goes, I have something. Hit record button. And then we get started. And now we were like, we don't have a record button. And somebody goes, well, maybe we just do two episodes today. Fuck no, we're going to do three. Right? That's it. When you commit, there's only one direction. All right. So the thing we want to talk about in today's episode is work-life balance and what our tactics and strategies and philosophies are on this. That's a beautiful topic. So I'm really interested to hear what you have to say, Heaton. Now, for context, we're both, we've been both founders multiple times, but today we're both married, we have children, both yep. two. So this is especially interesting, maybe also for people that have kind of, a life beyond work that needs to be balanced. But I think that most of the strategies probably would have applied to myself even without children and a family. But let's talk about it. How do you think about work-life balance? How do you maintain it if you do? What are your strategies, your tactics, your thoughts on that, Heaton?
Yeah, this question. I think as with a lot of things, it actually has to do a lot with your personality and your relationships. So at work, you have relationships. And in life, I guess, although they're both the same in a lot of ways, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
But in life, you have relationships too, right? So regardless of whether you're married, dating, whatever it is, you have work and you have life. And I think this idea of balance is probably the first thing I would hit on and say, like, I'm not really sure if you're, a founder having a startup or even your own business or thinking about it, or even if you're a team member in a company, if the balance is really the right way to think about it anymore. And I don't know the history of how work-life balance came up, but I can remember the term from when I was like, barely when I could understand things, I started hearing this term. And so I've got an issue with calling it balance. I think that naturally you are going to be unbalanced when you're really that dedicated to building a business. And so the way I like to think about it is more like just asking myself regularly. One thing that I do is just ask myself regularly: Am I spending enough time with the people that matter, whether it's people at work or people in life, so to speak? And that really helps me really reshape things or rejigger things or tune things if I need to. That's the simplest thing I do.
I love that. I heard somebody talk once about like work-life balance. It needs to just be life balance, right? Because
right.
work is part of life. How is work not like life, that. Right? So yeah. This is just about life balance. Another way of thinking of it, balance is just, I think it's a good metaphor for people. It probably came up because there's these two sides that a lot of people feel like tearing at them and pulling at you in different directions. There's your family and there's work. So you're like, how do I keep this back and forth at a certain balanced way, but I don't like thinking of it as a conflict or as two sides that are weight, right? I like life balance. I like life happiness. Like, how do I am I happy right now? How can I maintain happiness? Am I fulfilled? Fulfillment is another interesting one of thinking of it versus just happy and being productive. That, to me, that's another interesting angle where it's not about how much I work or how much I'm at home, is how productive do I feel in general in life? And productive in the sense of, is the time I have that I spent today doing things, interacting with people, am I spending that time in a way that seems meaningful, right? And that seems to be creating value in the world. Doesn't matter if I spend time with my children or if I'm at work doing a meeting, do I feel productive, right? It makes a big difference in the way that I think about this. But I want to give a little bit of context on my evolution on this, because for most of my career as an entrepreneur, I thought that there is no thing. Balance is bullshit. Burnout is bullshit. Burnout, I was like, burnout, give me a fucking break. This is just for weak people that need a way out. This is like, we invented this concept. It's called burnout. It's for people that work really, really hard and don't want to do that anymore. And I was so judgmental on this. And when I came to the Valley, I thought the way to be successful would be to work 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, no breaks, no vacations, no parties, no nothing. Eat pizza and burgers and drink, you know, about 12 cans of Red Bull every single day. No, I'm not shitting you. For the first 4 years, that's what my life looked like in Silicon Valley. Wow. And work, now mind you, work 17 hours a day means I was just sitting in front of a laptop, right? We both know it's impossible to be productive for 17 hours a day, 7 days
totally.
A week.
Totally, yeah.
Right? But I needed to be in front of a computer to feel like I'm working, and it needed to be painful for me to feel like I'm on my way. I was like, that's the dedication that I have to bring to make it. And the crazy thing is I became less and less productive, obviously, right? I became more and more depressed without realizing it. And I made everybody else in my team follow my lead. Right? I never told anyone it's not okay to take a break or a vacation. But every time somebody came to me and said, hey, Stella, I'm going to go to this party this weekend, I said yes, but my body language and my tonality was disapproving, right? Just like a parent that looks at you and goes, yeah, sure, you can do that. But you can tell, you can feel the disapproval and that you disappointed someone. So people, after feeling really horrible for doing these things, although I said it's okay, they stopped doing them, right? All of a sudden, we all had no life. We all were overweight. We all were living really unhealthy, and we all were unproductive, right? And that was kind of our roadmap to like making ourselves just, you know, horribly depressed and unhappy and unproductive. Anyways, so eventually that business had to die. And I remember talking to the three founders of Heroku. Heroku is the company that sold to Salesforce eventually, kind of a platform that allows you to deploy and develop applications where they just manage everything. Anyways, these guys sold their company for over $200 million. And I met with them. And it was right around after my first failure. And literally every single thing they said blew my mind. Just my mind was exploding because they're approach to life and work was completely opposite. So here's a few things they said that just made me go, holy shit, I might have to reevaluate the way I think about work. Number one, they were telling me they're not working more than 4 to 5 hours a day. I was like, my head was like exploding. What? Second thing they said was they were like, we never work on something if it's hard. And I was like, what? What is that? Like, it makes no sense. I always just wanted to work on things that are hard as an entrepreneur. They're like, no. Listen, Sally, if something is hard, it's just a red flag. It's a signal that either it's not the right time to work on it, we're not the right people to work on it, or we don't have the right approach or the right tactic to work on it. Here's what happens. If something is really hard and we can't grok it, we can't figure it out, we just push it aside. We say, it's too hard. Let's not work on it right now. And usually down the line when it comes up again, either it's easy then because we now have grown as a company, we have more resources, we have more ideas, more knowledge, or it's easier because at that point we have a bigger team, more people that can work on it. Or a lot of the times we realize it was the wrong problem to work on. And we should have never even attempted to work on that problem. So we have a simple life philosophy. Only work on things that are easy. Because if it's easy, you're productive, you're excited, you're motivated, you're inspired. You're going to be doing lots of awesome things. And it means you're the right person, it's the right time, it's the right approach to work on it. And I was just like, oh my fucking God, everything I've ever thought about entrepreneurship is wrong, right? And you know, not to say that everything they said was right. There's not one way of doing this shit, right? There's a million different philosophies and tactics and strategies to be really successful in life. But it was interesting to get somebody's perspective that was so successful and that has such a contrast to what I was thinking.
Right.
at the right time, at a time where I was really at rock bottom, right? Not really hanging on to my beliefs that strongly anymore. So that was such an aha moment where I started thinking, okay, maybe I should worry more about being productive and less about all the other bullshit and how many hours I put at work. And I started creating rituals and habits that allowed me to be productive and have some, I don't know if balance is the right word, but at least some perspective. Because as an entrepreneur, you're so consumed by what you're doing that you have no distance to it. And if you have no distance, you cannot have perspective. Everything feels like incredibly important or terrifying or amazing, right? You're on this roller coaster. When it goes up, you think, I'm going to fly. And when it goes down, you're like, I'm going to die. But you're just on a roller coaster, right? You don't realize it. Anyways, I could go on on this for hours, but that was a massive shift in mindset between thinking balance is bullshit. You have to work as hard as humanly possible to make your dreams a reality, to shifting to thinking it's not about balance or not balance. It's not about how many hours or how hard you work. It's about, are you productive? Is what you're doing truly, does it matter? Because if not, rather don't do anything. And about creating habits that allow you to create peak performance every day. Okay, so let's talk about this. What are your tactics, your strategy? What does your day look like? How do you make sure that you are at your best as an entrepreneur?
So a couple things. So I really like the Heroku attitude, not even because I agree or disagree with it, but mostly because at least they had a philosophy about how they're going to do things, and they believed it to be true, or at least that they could operate on it. So I bet culturally the whole company probably operated on a very similar, if not exactly the same philosophy. So that's really cool that they knew how they thought about it and what worked for them. To your question, though, around the how and the typical day, I think what people tend to not really think about is what gets them going and mm-hmm. really have a deep, meaningful understanding of what gets them going. And so for me, what gets me going is one main thing, which is other people. So I know that my trigger is other people. So if I'm in a meeting, I could be super tired or whatever, but if somebody needs my help or they want my advice, I'm there and I'm giving them the best advice I possibly can. And that's something that I know I get a lot out of personally from an emotional level and just gives me energy. So it's really just trying to figure out, I think it's really about trying to figure out what actually gives you energy. That's why, like you were talking about your sort of engineering-minded co-founder, right? Like,
yeah.
He knows, he writes code, right? In front of a computer all day. That gives him energy, right? Yeah. Like he just keeps going. And I'm sure he needs a break, obviously. But at the end of the day, you know, that's what he does. We have a team member that I know in one of my companies. And like, I know what gives him energy. He writes code all day. And then when he's not writing code, guess what? He's reading textbooks about writing code.
Nice.
And that's it for him. And yes, he has work-life balance. He cares about a lot of other things. You know, he has a couple kids and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that's what gives him energy. You can just see it. You know, so some of these people, you can just see what gives them energy. Some it's harder because like an engineer, you're not going to be able to ask them that. You're going to have to watch them, right? And I think this also leads into this other area, which is your team and sort of leading a team. But that's definitely another topic.
Just let me comment on this real quick because I fucking love it. What gives me energy is such an amazing question, such a powerful question to ask yourself.
And so then, what's your answer?
My answer, I think teaching, right? Interacting with people. And to me, teaching has two parts. It's like learning from others and having others learn from me, or have both of us learn from our interactions with each other.
Yep.
So I think that's why we both love doing this podcast.
Yep.
Right? And while we're very much on the same page, I love learning from others. I love teaching others what I know, and I love to create new ideas, new lessons that we both can learn from and feed off of together. So that's what gives me energy. But I just love the concept of thinking of your day as a either energy creating or energy subtracting kind of day, where you think, what things do I do today where I felt like I was losing energy, right? That was taking energy away from me, versus what things did I do today that gave me energy and pumped me up and energized me? And that can be your kids playing with my children energizes me. It can be whatever is going on a walk with your dog. It can be coding or designing or talking to people, whatever it is. But I just love thinking about it as a, does this feel like I'm getting more energy than I'm losing in this interaction? I just love the framework.
I like it. Yeah. I think it's, it's probably the most powerful thing I've found that's unrelated to anybody else. It's not about you and somebody else. It's not about even you and, you know, your family. It's literally about you and what gives you energy, and in all these different areas you care about, what gives you energy and keeps you going. Because I think all you're trying to do is just keep going. Just keep moving forward, right? That's the goal. Like, regardless of balance or work or life or whatever you call it, you're trying to keep going. You're trying not to stop and sort of slow down, so to speak. And slow down in the sense of, like, feel like you didn't accomplish anything is what I mean by that.
Another way of thinking of it, or on top of it, like feeding off of this, I think that sometimes it might be easy for people to confuse energy, like what gives me energy from where and when am I busy? Because you can be busy. You can do a lot of things without it feeling like you're being recharged, but rather like you're giving away all the kind of charged energy and saved up energy that you had inside you. It goes back to, like, are you doing lots and lots of things and you feel amazing at the end, or are you doing lots and lots of things and you feel like drained and, you know, kind of tired at the end of it? And this goes back to, like, motivation versus inspiration, right? Motivation being something that typically needs a push, right? It's like something that needs artificial, you pushing yourself to be motivated. Always to me feels like I have to push myself to do something, right? Or force my way to do something. And inspiration is effortless, right? Inspiration is when, like, the feeling in me makes me do things, right? And gives me more energy rather than draining me from it. So I always try to be inspired when I go to work versus being motivated when I go to work. What do we tell people when it comes to, like, right, so how do I know in my day? Because here's what a lot of people might think. What if I tell you, Heaton, well, yes, this is awesome for somebody that's as successful as you. You go, what gives me energy and what I'm inspired to do and all that. But I live in the I haven't made it yet part of the universe. And there you have to do lots and lots of shit that you don't like and lots of things that don't give you energy. And I kind of still have to do it. How do you deal with that kind of, like, objection to this concept?
Rephrase that. So it's like doing things you don't want to do?
Yeah, that don't give you energy. Yeah, it's like, well, as an entrepreneur, don't you have to do lots and lots of things that don't give you energy?
Yeah, the worst, the part people don't realize is that you become an entrepreneur or founder or whatever, and you end up doing these things that you just have to do. Like, you don't have a choice because you're thrown in a situation. So I think even in those situations, you can find a way to make it something that gives you energy and lets you keep going by just the way you think about it, right? So if you're somebody who gets more energy from reading a great blog post or reading content and then doing something about it, that's great. Then go read content and do something about it. If you're somebody who would rather talk to someone and get some advice, great. Go talk to someone, get some advice, then do something about it. But to me, it's like, it's not it's your frame of mind when you're doing things, not necessarily the things you're doing that will give you energy, if that makes any sense. So it's like the way I think about it is the way you do something is more important than what you're doing.
Yeah. It's such an important thing. I actually wrote a blog post about this, and it's interesting because I'm back in Europe and I'm in the neighborhood where all this transpired. But one of my best friends, his mom was a cleaning lady at a factory.
Okay.
And during that time, I was kind of an entrepreneur. We were out of school. My best friend was, like, unemployed, trying to find a job, was not really finding any gig. And his mom is a factory worker, cleaning lady, right? Not the most empowering or powerful position you could be in. But that woman was cleaning that factory like there's no tomorrow. And she was doing it. She was showing up every day. And she was doing it with a passion, with a smile on her face, with a pride that made people take notice. And at some point, the person that was managing that department in the factory started taking an interest in her and asked her about her life and her children and her background and all that. And they formed a friendship. And eventually, he learned from her that her son was unemployed and trying to find work. And he was like, wait a second, your son needs work? Have him come first thing tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. I'll interview him and we'll give him a job here. Just based out of the way that she was cleaning.
Yeah. Right?
Like, there's nothing that's so unimportant that you couldn't do it right. And if you do the way you do it, if you do it with pride and with set of standards. And if you over-deliver, it's always going to feel great no matter what it is. It's always going to feel great. And it's always going to create opportunities in the universe and open doors for other things to happen, right? So here's a cleaning lady that makes, you know, just by the way she cleans, creates opportunities for her children beyond what's necessarily expected.
That's awesome.
All right, I want to shift gears real quick and just throw out one or two more tips, because we're in the tip section on like work-life balance. I'll throw a tip. Let's do two each. Let's over-deliver real quick.
Let's try.
So real quick, one of my habits or tips that I have for work-life balance, keep a journal. And the way that I do it is that I have a journal where I just have in bullet points, I keep track of everything that's great that happened each month. So it's going to be like May 2015, and then there's bullet points. Everything that was great, everything that was amazing, every good moment, every smile, everything cool. I just keep track, keep a log, like a code log of everything great. And then before the next month starts, I just reevaluate the year. What's all the awesome shit that has happened in this year? And on a daily basis, I kind of glance over it and it gives me perspective. It lets me appreciate all that's great about my life. You go next, Eden.
Sure. So one of the things I do is I will take quick notes after a meeting. And I might have gave this tip before, I don't remember. But I'll take, no. If I have a meeting, I'll take notes after it. The reason I'm taking the notes is I'm trying to figure out where I screwed up and how to have a better meeting, or how to make the next meeting better, or how to, you know, apologize to somebody if I really did something really bad. And the way that helps me in this context of like balance is like, I'm just getting it out of my head right away. And so my pattern is, it's not just with meetings, but if there's something in my head and like I can't stop thinking about it, I will just write what they call like a stream of thought. And I don't worry about structure or sending it to anyone or anything. It's kind of like your journaling that you're saying, except I do it very ad hoc. I've got all kinds of notes in my phone and I do it really fast, because if something's on my mind, I know I have to get it out of my mind.
That's awesome. All right, I'll do another one and then we'll finish off strongly with yours. So one other tip that I have is being busy is a form of laziness. So here's one habit that I have is when I make promises, I try to keep them. And if I think I need to break them because I didn't get as much work done, I ask myself, was I really productive today? Or will I break my word and make somebody else suffer because I was lazy today, or I was not on my game and wasn't productive? And one way this manifests itself almost twice a week or so. So I try to be at home for dinner with my kids every day. I'm trying to be home at 6 p.m. And almost twice a week now for over 2 years, I experienced this urge. At some point in the day, I'll pull out my phone and I'll start writing to my wife, honey, today I won't make it. And every time before I sent that text, I ask myself, is this okay? Is this right? Was I really productive today, or was I fucking around all day long and I'm going to make my children suffer for it because I was not productive? And every single time I have to go, yeah, I fucked around today. I wasn't productive. I'm not going to have them pay for it. I will pay for it. So I delete the text again, and then I show up at home at 6. I have dinner with my kids, and I tell myself, well, tomorrow I better bring my A game and catch up on this shit because I have to do all this work. So keep your promises, and if you think, oh, today I had so much to do that I couldn't do it in the amount of time, ask yourself if that's really the truth.
I like it. I really like that. That's interesting, being honest with yourself. All right. So you made this harder than it needs to be. I think the one thing that you mentioned that was very interesting, maybe even before, that I think is really valuable is if basically the words feedback is what comes to mind. It's like we don't necessarily go, and there's probably a whole talk on this, but like, or a whole podcast on this, but we don't go get feedback from the people that matter in our lives. And this is like at work, sometimes people have feedback systems and all that. But what about really personal feedback? And I know, Stella, you mentioned this in an earlier podcast about getting feedback from your co-founders and stuff like that. To me, it's like you can't get any better if you don't know how other people think about you. And so go get feedback from your spouse if you have to, right? Or if you think that if you have even any idea that you're not delivering on what you should be to your family, go get feedback. Figure out what they have to say about it. And it doesn't mean you have to take it. And I know sometimes it can be dangerous getting feedback from a significant other, but you know, then you got to do something about it. But like, find a way to get feedback and constantly get it, because that's the only way you can get better.
It's such a powerful thing. I'm so happy I made this more difficult than it needed to be, because this is really magic. Asking your significant other, your children if they're old enough, your parents, yeah. your brothers, sisters, your friend, your true close friends. Hey, how am I doing? Am I a good friend? Am I a good husband? Am I a good human being? How do you perceive me? What do you think? What kind of a person am I? How am I living my life? What is your observation? What's your feedback to me? Such a powerful thing. Scary, because you never know what they're going to say, but it's such a powerful and potentially transformational thing. Get feedback from the people that matter most in your life, the most important people. Such a beautiful tip to end the podcast with. All right, guys. Well, tweet at us, at HNShaw, at Stelly. Let us know how do you create either life happiness or life balance, or what gives you energy. Let us know what your tips, strategies, philosophies are, and we'll give us feedback on the podcast. What can we do better? What did you like? And then we're looking forward to hearing you in the next episode.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.